The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Who takes down all the stars in Los Angeles to win the United States Open.
Right then, so there's Wyndham Clark winning the U.S. Open on Father's Day, as always, and a pretty impressive golf tournament. I was thinking about it, James. It's been so long since you and I got together, we haven't even reacted yet to the Canadian Open, let alone the U.S. Open.
Is that right? We haven't.
No, we just missed it.
Oh, okay.
We just missed it. Anyway,
yeah.
Got lots to get to coming up today. We've had a Stanley Cup one, our old building, TSN 1200, along with Bell Media, a bunch of layoffs. I'm sure you're like me. You've been fielding texts and calls from people wondering about what's going on there. And, of course, that was a fate that you and I both had. Me in 2019, you in, I don't know, probably
12, 8, 9
years before that. Okay, yeah. So, standard operating procedure for our friends at Bell Media. I'm not here to slag anybody because for the better part of 20 years, they put a lot of money in my pocket, and I certainly appreciate that. But it's just difficult to see an industry I love going the way it's going right now. And how are you, James?
You know, all those pricks deserve to get fired and let go. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. They got rid of you. They should all suffer the same thing.
I'll tell you what. First, before we get to all the news, there's lots to talk about.
Sure.
You know, you were just telling me that, because I'm hooked. It's ironic that you were telling me that you had to lay down some cash, because I've come to realize that you're kind of addicted to technology, because you do a lot of it, right? Videographer now, and podcasting, and voiceovers, and all this stuff, right? And I can see
writing
every week now. Steve, it's like, hey, Jimmy, look at this. I picked up a Doppel thingy here. Okay, for
the scam in a bed.
Yeah, I got it for $1,100. It's normally $82,000. Okay, I got that for $11,000. I picked this thing up for $3,000. It's normally about 1.5 mil. I got that one. This is a fucker who never bought me lunch, Steve. And you're spending money like a hooker, okay?
I never bought you lunch.
You never bought me lunch, okay? You've never bought me lunch. It's terrible.
No.
But Stevie, that being said, I am addicted to Amazon this week.
It's good, huh?
It's so good. I started flipping through. I end up staying up 2 in the morning, and you know, when people are going to bed at 11, I get going, Steve, but I realize it's a wasted 3 hours all the time, you know, rolling through shit, Facebook and all that.
Sure.
So I started saying, I'm going to watch some Amazon. Okay.
Okay.
And then I clicked on the shopping part of it. I thought I wanted to watch a movie or something. Right. I was like, wham, golf shoes.
Oh, right.
Fuck. Okay. I'll take those.
How do they know I want golf shoes? Sneaky bastards.
Yeah. So I'm buying shorts and what did I buy? This golf shoes. What else did I buy? I don't know what else I bought. Yeah, shirts. Okay. I thought I'd load up.
Can you get smokes on Amazon? Just out of curiosity.
I've started that. Okay. I've floated that idea to see if you can. I haven't looked. And so I thought I better load up on the shorts, Steve, I got a nice pair of golf shoes, but I thought I better get a new pair because I have a nice new pair. So I thought I better get a new pair, right? So I'm becoming like a broad where they buy their shoes all the time, right? You know the broad, Stevie, the way they buy the shoes. So anyway, that's what I've been doing. I've been shopping on Amazon. And the reason, Steve, because you know what a fanatic golfer I am, that I better load up on 3 or 4 pairs of shorts. And I better have that extra pair of shoes, Steve, because I haven't played any golf this year.
Oh, boy. Not right.
So none of it makes sense, Stevie. None of it.
Well, you're not gonna find any sympathy from me. There is a story in our past about the frivolous purchase of golf shoes that you do not need. You talking me into buying golf shoes because my golf shoes... I blew a sole or something, and I bought them at the Marshes, and you helped me buy them. I said, these are a little snug. And, oh, Stevie, no, they're supposed to be snug. They're supposed to be real snug. So $100 later, I buy these shoes, and I'm ready. I think that one of my feet actually fell off at about the 9th hole because they were so tight. so many blisters.
Yeah.
And I'm at $100. Thanks for that. What a joke.
We didn't have video back then. We didn't have the phone videos. I think that's how long ago it was. You know, I don't know how they do it, Steve, but there must be a documentary on Amazon, because I'm saying, like, everyone has these big depots, right? Like, Edmonton has maybe two of them. They might have three of them now. You know, they're like, you know, 7 million square feet, you know, these things. And I'm saying, think about that. I was thinking, I'm going, so when you order shoes, Stephen, they're going to deliver them in a couple of days, okay? Mm-hmm. How many pairs of shoes are there, Steve? A jillion? Okay, men, women, kids, shoes, sports, unsports, what, dress? Yeah. So, you know, where are those stored, Steve? Because it needs a million warehouses for that alone. So you must get, it must be like shoes come from Calgary and computer shit comes from, I don't know how they do it. I mean, I would totally be interested in knowing how Amazon does it, because it's.
Well, we've got a few warehouses right here in Ottawa.
Right.
And it's unbelievable the size of the things. It's, they're small cities. It's crazy. And it's only going to keep going, because that's just the way people are starting to consume.
Yeah. And I talked to a friend of mine. You would know the stores his family owns. They're a national brand called the Running Room. You probably have those stores in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Running Room.
We do.
They've got several hundred of them across Canada. Their head office is here. He's a buddy of mine, John Stanton. It's a Stanton family who owns it. And
yep.
Speaking of shoes, you know, when it came along and I ran into him when Amazon started cooking, and I ran into him and almost put my head down and put my hand on his shoulders going, oh man, I'm so sorry. This Amazon thing must be just murder for you guys, right? And he said, it's the best fucking thing ever. I said, right. What? I said, what about the retail? Best thing ever, Jimmy. I'm quite happy to sell all of my stuff online. I don't have to handle inventory. I don't have to have a store. I don't have to, you know, there's no issue with storing inventory. There's no issue with, you know, staff. He was lit up like a tree. Lit up like a tree. That I still get to sell my shoes. But I'm going, yeah, but they're not Running Room. Like, I don't get it, Steve. If you have a sport check and I have a Running Room, how are my shoes through Amazon different than yours, Steve, when it doesn't say Running Room or sport check on it? It just says Amazon, Nike running shoes. That, you know what I'm saying, Steve?
Well, Amazon's part of it. It's like if you go to, say, buy your favorite golf shoes, you know, let's say it's Golf Town or something. Golf Town will have a store that operates, I don't know for sure, but they probably have an Amazon site, right? So you'll find the shoes you like, and it'll be sold through Golf Town. You can either click and go to Golf Town's website or buy it on Amazon. It's all intertwined.
Okay. Anyway, the other thing, Stevie, I bought because my laptop works really well, so I bought another laptop.
Good man.
You know how busy I am, Steve, that I better have two laptops, because you know I've been that thing all day long, and I'm really well versed in, you know, all the nifty things you got to do to operate a computer, Steve.
Of course, yes, you need to two of something you don't understand. Great.
True.
All right. Do you want to dabble in the Bell Media thing, or have we said enough on that, or do you want to go to golf? What are you feeling?
The radio station here just shut down.
Gone.
Yeah, TSN 1260 is the one here. So Jason Greger's, you know, friend of mine. In fact, we just did a roast together, Stevie. We roasted Kevin Lowe. I was one of the roasts.
Yeah, you gave us some of your material in the last episode, and I was thinking to myself, "Ooh, there's some edgy stuff in
there." Yeah, there was. But Stevie, it went well. Yeah, good. It went well. Anyway, the next day, so Greger was there. He's owned his own show there for 15 years or something, maybe 20, you know. He.
So why not give him the radio station? What are they?
Yeah, well, he went to the station, right, instead of saying, like, I remember doing the golf show with Nelford and some other ideas that I went to the station with, saying, okay, how do I get paid? And they're like, well, you're not. We'll give you the space and yada, yada, yada. And that, so that guy, knowing all that, he went in 20 years ago and said, okay, I'll own everything. You don't need to pay me a dime. Okay. You don't need to pay me a dime, and I'll do a show, but I'll look after everything. I'll sell all the yada, yada, yada. And, It was pretty smart. You know, he probably made lots of money doing it. It was on their bandwidth wasn't very good, Stevie. It's very sketchy. Was never that good, but you know, I read an article about it, about these stations shutting down, and the guts of it is their talk radio is the first to go because it's so expensive. And I didn't realize that, like a dummy. I only worked in it for, but yeah, I usually they would flip formats or something, Steve, generally, I don't know, merge, sell it to someone else. I don't know, do something, but they just shut her down. And they weren't the only one, right? That got shut down.
Yeah, 1,300 positions, and let's see, they're closing or selling 9 radio stations, a 6% cut in eliminated positions at Bell Media, and this is a very, very big company, as most people would know. And Bell, and look who the spokesman for Bell is. Why, it's Richard Gray, the guy who canned you.
He fired me, that guy.
Son of a... Oh. Anyway, layoff, let's call it what it is, layoff. Yeah. Freaking ratings bonanzas. Both of us, when we were let go, the station was like, ratings through the roof, you're out. Yeah. What? But the ratings are great. You're still out.
I should phone him, Steve.
Anyway.
It's been 10 years. I should phone him and say, I was just following up because you said if we ever change directions again, maybe we'll. There I am. Rich, I was wondering if you wanted to get back to me on that.
Yeah, it's a change of direction, all right, yeah. So they've, 6 of the stations that are out. TSN, the only TSN that was completely shut down was Edmonton's TSN 1260 radio. But if you remember in the last round of layoffs and shutdowns by Bell Media, all the TSNs like Winnipeg, right, Vancouver, I think Hamilton or something. Anyway, those became funny stations, funny 1290, funny 1060. Well, they shut those down completely.
Yeah, what was the funny handle? Sorry to interrupt. What did that mean?
Stand-up comedy.
Oh, okay. They were straight. Okay.
So just spinning, famous stand-up comedians, and that's pretty much all it was. They're selling Hamilton and Windsor as well. And right now, everybody's going, okay, Steve, and probably asking you too, well, what do you think is happening with Ottawa right now? Well, we know that they cut 2 employees in Sean Simpson,
yep,
who was the guy that slid into my spot in the morning show on TSN 1200, and Lever Sage, who slid into the afternoon show after I was let go. And so both those guys are gone now. And then Steve Lloyd moves into the morning show, and it sounds like they're going to be basically non-local from about 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. So yeah. I'm not optimistic about the future when I hear Bell Media in the statement about, I think it was the Edmonton station, they basically said, due to the realities of AM radio, blah, 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 blah. Like, you're pretty much calling your shot there right now for the future of the Ottawa station. And anyway, I hope it lasts as long as possible, but it certainly feels like it's on borrowed time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not by design, Stevie, when I say this, you know, but, and I worked in it, so this will sound really odd, you know, but... But I never understood. I never could ever get my head around the fact that you're going to be able to talk about local sports teams all day long on the radio. I never did. I was like, are you serious? Yeah, it's hockey centric, man. And so we're going to talk hockey all day. Yeah, every show all day long until the middle of the night when they flip it over to, you know, ESPN or something like that, like they did. Mm-hmm. And so I never understood it, you know. I didn't have a handle on the demo, on how what attracted listeners and all that stuff. And then I think, you know, when we look back, the you know, that chemistry that we had, that arena that allowed, you know, us to do other shit besides sports. I think that had a lot to do with the listenership, right? That people found it refreshing. And I really wish we could, you know, go back to that day. You know, a lot of it, of course, is the sensitivity, the diversity issues and stuff like that. if people heard, I don't want to drag you under this bus, you know, but if they heard the shit that I used to say.
You know what? Even I was dabbling in some of that stuff in the early days, and it certainly changed over the course of the 20 years that I was there. But certainly in the first 5 to 10 years, some of the stuff that was being uttered on the radio, I wouldn't feel comfortable now saying in the hockey dressing
room. Yeah. But it was what it was lively, right? It was, I'm just saying, yeah. You know, can you have a station, Stevie, where you're going to mix it up? You know, I don't mean, you know, maybe it's music and sports. I don't know. You know, maybe it's a song every 15 minutes, right? But I don't know. Can you operate something where it's not exclusively one format? I always thought you could, you know, I always thought you could. And, you know, that show we did was Whatever, as you said, right? As this show's called, you know, Sports and Whatever. But it had a lot to do with the success of it, I think. But I never thought they would work. And when I've read, the question is why, right? The question is why. Okay, money, after everyone looks at the obvious. But they're looking ahead, Stevie, right? They Bell Media could afford to keep those stations. But they're looking down the road, Steve, where the whole playing field of radio is changing. And it looks like it's going out the window to me. From the piece I read from a guy saying, you know, they're going to centralize news and everything, right? That Google is kicking the shit out of radio stations, right? It's just kicking the
100%.
Shit, you know? It's like, and they're trying to say, well, you want your live morning show and you want your drive show that people want to know traffic and shit like that. And every response to that is, I can Google that quicker than you can give it to me. So
right.
If I want traffic on the White Mud Freeway here in Edmonton, I can Google that. So the day of you saying you need local update, you know, here's the irony.
Well, that's not where, let me just jump in. That's not where Google is killing everything. It's their ability to, you know, because things are moving online, the ability to, you know, drive sales through Google.
Right.
It's, you know, people are, that's, and they're eating up most of the advertising dollars these days. You know, people putting up these websites and, what do they call it, Google AdWords or something like that. People are lining up to spend money on that because it works. Like, it's so tailor-made. They're able to find an audience so quickly, right. Through where they place their ads and things. And, you know, your buddy that has the running room, you know, he's probably going, yeah, well, Google's getting the job done for me, and TSN Edmonton was not.
Yeah. Well, I think the car business, right, has changed, right, a lot, right, where the car business lives and breathes like any other business on advertising, you know, and capturing. But you know, for you to get news, Steve, like for a news station to get news, Steve, they're probably Googling. You know, they're probably going, someone check the Twitter, someone check their Instagram and their Facebook feed, please, before we go with this story.
With life moving so fast, don't you wish you could just freeze time? Well, that's what Jim K. Ford is doing for you, because right now, when you custom order a new 2023 Ford Explorer from Jim K., you can lock in your factory order bonus of up to $1,000. And if there's a better incentive when you take delivery, you can choose that instead. It's that simple. Start your journey today at Jim K. Ford in Orleans or at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago, and one of the things he took care of was the staging, which is crucial.
I mean, and especially in this market, you have to stage in this market. You have to present the homes online well, because buyers' expectations have changed, and they're so knowledgeable now. They go online, and they can see the photos. If they don't like the photos and it doesn't present well online, they're not going to go see the home.
Find out more from Glenn online today, glennwalton.com.
Man, we almost did a show there without talking sports. Let's get into it, though. The golf.
Sir.
I mean, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about Nick Taylor and that 72-foot putt that he made to win the Canadian Open, first Canadian in 69 years, 72-footer. That thing was like right in the discussion with the 72 Summit Series, like as far as big Canadian sports moments go. That was unbelievable. I was screaming. I was just here in the man cave by myself, and I was screaming my ass off to the point where my family thought I'd hurt myself.
Yeah, it's hard to get your head around, right? The pressure of the underdog trying to win their own national championship, right? It's just not going to happen, right? And you go, well, wait a minute. Where's he? Almost did it there. I think he lost in a playoff to Vijay Singh, or was down to the last hole or something. I was there with Angriel at that one. Funny, I can't remember it, Steve.
Oh, I'm shocked. Yeah. But four playoff holes at Tommy Fleetwood. It was a great back and forth. And then, and it was nice because, I mean, he was in a position where if he two putts, he's probably still going to win. But Fleetwood had a fairly long putt and he could have made that. But that was a total snake and just a phenomenal thing.
I get it. You know, Johnny Miller was back in front of the microphone in a press conference at the U.S. Open, which was held this week, of course. And it's 50 years since he won the U.S. Open in 1973. And he won it by shooting 63 in the final round. And Johnny Miller hasn't commentated in 5 years. He wrapped it up in 2019. He's 76 years old. And he was popular for saying things that were very unpopular. You know, like when Rocco Media played against Tiger in a playoff, everyone will remember, he said he looks like Tiger's pool boy. You know, Ben Hogan would puke on him if he saw that golf. So he said shit like this all the time, right? Right. But the one thing he did talk about all the time, no matter what, was choking. He was the guy who said he choked, right? And guys would just quiver, right? They would just you don't say that. But he said it's what makes golf the different from other sports, and it's the choke factor. You know, it's the choke factor. And he even said, you know, he's probably talking about, he did this before the tournament, but the example would be Ricky Fowler, right? And he was saying, who can shoot 63? Now, Johnny Miller is not humble, okay? He's not humble.
No.
He shot 63 in the final round, okay, to win it. And he was saying, talk to me if you, like, because Fowler shot 62. There was another dude who shot 62 in the first or second round.
Xander Schauffele also had
62. Right. So he goes, that's terrific, but can you do it in the final round? And right. Ricky shoots three or four over or something, right? And Fowler was the story in that. Anyway, so what Nick Taylor does is you know, the choke factor is always what's going to come in. Who can do it? Yeah, I can't believe, you know, the amount of pressure on that guy to win that Canadian Open. Corey Connors, by the way, was in the hunt for the first 2 days. I think he was leading after the first 2 days, right? The amount of pressure, Steve, would be unbearable. Like, I don't care what you say or what you do or how you're going to try and handle it, would be unbearable. The first thing would be, is this pressure? Yeah. Here's the problem with this kind of pressure. It's unbearable. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't sleep. I did, you know, it's like, this is crazy for me to my mind to drift in a Canadian to win the Canadian Open, you know? So how did the guy pull it off? Lucky, I guess, with the 72-footer. Do you go back over the whole fucking round and, you know, where did Tommy Fleetwood screw up or whatever? The guy did what he had to do. But I really think it goes down in history as what did someone accomplish under the totally suffocating pressure? You know, it just not only does it choke you to death, it's, you can't get away from it. And
yeah, we saw a bit of that with Wyndham Clark in the U.S. Open and the pressure that was on him because, I mean, he won fairly recently, not a major, of course, but, you know, fairly new to this level of pressure. And he was leaking oil near the end, and Rory McIlroy was in the clubhouse. He only had a one-stroke lead on him. And to see the way that he held his act together was really impressive, particularly, I don't know how you feel about this, but the way that the golf officials allowed the gallery to just absolutely swarm the green behind him. I thought that was really a disservice to Wyndham Clark, the way they busted through the rope.
I didn't see that last point. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, really? Oh. Yeah, so they allowed them to bust through the ropes and absolutely just go within about, I don't know, maybe 30 yards of the green, but the whole green was now basically enveloped by humanity. Yeah. And that was just such a change. And they were all making noise, and some of them are going, you know, Rory, even though Rory was in the clubhouse. Here's Wyndham Clark, who's trying to finish this off. He's made a nice approach shot. All he has to do is not three putt, and he's the U.S. Open champion, makes two really good putts, and he's done, and he wins. But I thought that was a real disservice to him for them to allow this change in the rules effectively that really could have left him feeling, you know, I'm sure he was like this close to losing his you-know-what as it is pressure-wise. And then you throw that layer onto things. I thought that was really unfair to him, but super impressive. And to see him emotionally break down after he makes that putt was pretty great. I mean, I don't know if there's many better things in sports than watching somebody under those conditions finish off a major.
Yeah,
pretty special.
Yeah, and you know, along the same lines as Taylor winning his Open, this guy wins his Open, right? He's American. Yep. The story, I think, with Wyndham Clark is, so going into that thing, you end up with the guys who are household names now in golf being part of that discussion right away from after the first round, which is Rory, Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele, Scheifele,
Scheffler,
Johnny Rahm was in there, right? All the Gunners were part of that. And then this huge story of Ricky Fowler comes along. And Ricky's been of late been playing better, you know, and sure enough, he's going into the final round with the lead. Those were the stories, right? What this U.S. Open gave me this time, Steve, is really, you know, without sounding too maudlin, but it was really the story of what sports is all about is the boyhood dream, man, you know? And I saw an interview with Dustin today talking about when he was in grade 7. He was talking about playing golf when he said, I'm going to be a professional golfer. I'm starting to dream of being a professional golfer. Wyndham Clark is not a household name. He's not a slouch. You know, he's not a massive, massive underdog. You know, he won earlier this year. He's won $7.5 million or something after totaling $2 million in his last 7 years or 6 years. But it really was a story of when you heard this guy in front of the microphone after his mother died a year ago. He developed an anger issue, Steve, and yep. He couldn't handle it. He started playing bad. He started the trunk slamming, you know, and physically, you know, punching his car and shit like that. It was like the guy was off the radar, Steve, temper wise, and he was done mentally, done, you know. And I get that, man. I get that. I've seen guys break down, man, playing golf who never return, you know, And so it was really, for me, it was, holy God, what a, I don't know how to say it, Stevie, like the boyhood dream come true. Like if Ricky won it, Steve, it wouldn't be the same. Okay. It's like, fuck, I'm back playing, but Ricky's been around a long time. You know, he won the Players, you know, he's never won a major, but, that doesn't make you a bad golfer not winning a major. So I really thought it was the guy represents every guy, Steve, who's sitting there, who plays on the PGA Tour, who's saying, would you fuck off about John Rahm and Dustin and, you know, please, there's 90% of the guys out here who are, you know, busting their balls, man, busting their balls, who are going to quit the game, who through thick and thin, through no money, through all sorts of shit, who had to endure, you know. So that's what I took away from that U.S. Open with that Wyndham Clark. I don't know if I'm summing that up the right way or if I'm making my point.
No, I think, you know, I think it's a case of, you know, Cinderella story, right? You love that. Everybody loves that. And the boyhood dream is absolutely a real thing. And that adds to a layer of, you know, it's just a little more compelling,
right,
than the standard finish. Like I think about it with the Stanley Cup final. You know, there's a lot of those guys I'd never heard of. There's a guy named Michael Amadio, and his cousin is a buddy of mine, big listener to the program, and he was beside himself. It's, you know, there's a Stanley Cup ring in the family, but there's a guy who played for the Sens for a few games. He's bounced around the NHL, and now suddenly he's a Stanley Cup winner, the boyhood dream.
Right.
That's part of what makes that whole thing special. I think anybody who was watching that final game where Vegas wins like 9-3, right. The third period, like if it was a curling match, they would have shaken hands, the two coaches, after the second period and let the celebration begin.
Right.
But we had to endure this third period. I think a lot of people just hung in there to be able to watch the presentation of the cup, the Conn Smythe Trophy, which went to Jonathan Marchessault, to watch Mark Stone, the former senator, lift the cup and be presented by Gary Bettman. But more than that, everybody getting their turn with the cup, and being interviewed on what it meant to them. You know, any kind of ego or money talks and, you know, all that stuff is out the window. It's just, it's the most human that you'll ever see these pro athletes.
My buddy, longtime Oiler fan, longtime Edmontonian his whole life, you know, he was very pissed and insulted with the Vegas fans. You know, I said, why? He goes, who the fuck do they think they are to win a Stanley Cup and then start to cry about it? Okay, like they've been trying for 50 freaking years. He's a Leaf fan too, Stevie, okay? It's like, who do these fuckers think they, excuse my language, who do these people think they are that they're going to be like, this is the great, you know, I saw a chick on there. This is the greatest day of my life, okay? She's from Toronto, Steve. She'd been living in Vegas for like 8 years, you know? No, it's not. Stand back. Stevie's Ottawa Senators would be the greatest day of his life, okay? Wernsey gets that, gets the cry, gets the you don't understand what this means to me and all this shit. All these other people talking like it's been 100 years. So I sort of started to agree with them a little bit, you know. But
well, that was my take, in that as someone who was here,
you luck boxes, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've been here. I grew up in Richmond, dreamed of having an NHL team in my region. And when it arrived in 92, 93, I was actually working and I couldn't believe it. It was like, but I was there first season.
Yeah.
And that's over 30 years ago now.
Yeah.
And in that first season, they got the worst expansion rules in the world. They won 10 games. They didn't go to the Stanley Cup final in their first year like Vegas did. And I actually saw a headline, because they've been in the league, Vegas has, for 6 years now. So in their first year, they went to the Stanley Cup final. And this year, they went to the Stanley Cup final. This year, they won it. And there was a headline in NHL.com, and I laughed. Oh, how I laughed. It said, Vegas fans never wavered between Stanley Cup final appearances.
6 years.
That's awesome.
Jimmy, they've been to four conference finals in 6 years and two cups.
Oh, my God.
Two cup finals and one cup win. I mean, oh, my God, you guys are so resilient. Yeah. I take my hat off to you, Pete.
I got a question for you, Stevie. So the Wyndham Clark is a great story, right? It's a great sports story. It's a movie, right? This guy was never supposed to do it. He's up against all the great players in the world. It's the biggest tournament. It's bigger than the Masters, I think, the U.S. Open to win it, because it's so hard to win. You know, the Masters isn't that, the conditions are way easier. Okay. The course is way shorter. The greens are bigger. That course is just four par fours, Steve, were over 500 yards.
Right.
Oh, you know, and par five over six. And then they had this 100 yard par three, which was cool. But four par threes were over 200 yards, or four par threes, Steve, were over 250 yards, I think.
Oh my God.
There were four of them, two of them, and four par fours over 500 yards, right? Crazy, crazy. And they doubled up the rough. Like the ball never popped up in the rough. Okay. It was all that.
Yeah.
What I would
calling it a bird's nest.
So Rory McIlroy, Steve, the only thing they keep saying about him is he hasn't won a major in 9 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why does everyone cheer for Rory, Steve, and not Wyndham Clark?
Familiarity. We all like the celebrity factor. If there's celebrity at play, and that's what Rory McIlroy has become, that's what people will go for versus some rank and file player that nobody has any clue about.
But if you're a fan, you're going, this is amazing. You know, I want to make my club championship one day, Steve. Cheer for me. You know,
it's the same reason you watch a movie that's pretty good, but because there's no stars in it, you're kind of going, eh, that'd have been better if it was George Clooney or whatever.
I guess, you know, it's always struck me as odd. There's a lot of things today, Steve, striking me as odd. Did you notice that?
Especially
today.
No, I don't want to.
I'm just like, why wouldn't you cheer for that fucking guy? Who cares about Rory? Rory's won a bunch of majors, or, you know, Rory's fine. Why are you cheering for Rory?
Yeah, no, I like the underdog story. I was cheering for Clark, but I would have been okay if Rory McIlroy won as well. I've always liked him. He's always, I think, you know, the whole live thing, some people are crapping on him for that. And
he's not American.
You
know, it's a U.S. Open.
Agreed. I just think he's, you know, obviously extremely talented. And I don't know, I've always liked him as a character, so... Yeah.
Looking for a vehicle that's environmentally friendly and fun? Look no further than the Ford Mustang Mach-E, available now at Jim K. Ford. This electric car will have you laughing all the way to the bank with savings on gas and maintenance costs without giving up excitement and performance. And with zero emissions, you can finally breathe easy, literally. So if you want a car that's as exhilarating as it is eco-friendly, come down to Jim K. Ford today and take a spin in one of our Mach-E's today. Visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Hey, drop us a note anytime. Email address is stevewproject@outlook.com. We were talking earlier about all the discussion about radio and podcasts and the future and the direction of this show even. If you have any thoughts on that, we're always keen to hear. We've obviously moved into a new place where we're going weekly instead of daily.
Yeah.
And we're always keen to hear from you, the good listener, as to how we're doing and things you might like to see different or things you're a fan of. We love praise. Oh my God. Especially Jimmy.
Yeah.
You can praise him all day. He will never stop you. Never.
I'll tell you why, Steve. They didn't cheer for Wyndham Clark.
Okay.
They didn't like his days with the Minnesota North Stars.
There you go.
I'll tell you.
And the email address is stevewproject@outlook.com. We'll call it quits right
now. No, hang on, Stevie. Hang on. I got another announcement.
Okay.
That they've named the, Australian rules football.
Yes.
Like it's even meaner and crueler than rugby, I think, isn't it? They've named a new captain, Steve, for it.
Who's that?
Adam Hadwin. Oh, can he? I'll tell you what, that guy was nails, baby. Okay. Full on in the ribs, Stevie. Okay. Full, but by a guy who weighs about 3 and change. They had about 50 different angles on it. It was the best I've ever seen. The guy drops his shoulder full steam into Hadwin's ribs, flattens him, and Hadwin jumps up and like spikes the champagne bottle, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a case of maybe next year we invest a little more money in our security, maybe go a little more than minimum wage and bring in some guys who are a little more skilled at identifying threats.
Yeah. Well, they had it set up, you know, when I'm okay, security guys. Okay. All right. Here's what's going to happen. This guy might win this thing. It's going to be bedlam. Okay. It's going to be absolute bananas. So these people on this side of the rope. Okay. See them here. Corey Connors, Mac Hughes. That's Mike Weir, right? Masters champ. In fact, there's Justin Rose or a bunch of, okay. Those guys, they're good. Adam Hadwin, they're good. And if you can't remember who they are, don't worry about it. They're on this side of the rope. So when they charge the green, it's fine. Got it. The first fucking
yeah. Well, and the thing, it wasn't the first guy. There were already,
yeah,
and he couldn't possibly have looked at everybody's lanyard. There were at least 40 people already milling about on the green. Any one of them could have had a handgun in their pants or something. Yeah. But no, it's Adam Hadwin who's out there with his $400 golf shoes and a magnum of champagne spraying it.
Yeah.
And this guy, I mean, he might as well have been out there just yelling, shooter.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the security guys go, well, here's the, you know what? Yeah. Nick Taylor got stabbed. Okay. He got stabbed with a knife because the security guards were over here looking after Adam Hadwin. Right. And
right.
The guy was like, well, listen, that if he passes that bottle around, someone's going to get herpes. I'm just making shit up now, Steve. It's time.
No, you're not. I loved his reaction. Like it was Taylor's caddy. You see it in slow motion, everything happening. And it's the greatest day of this caddy's life too.
Sure.
And you can see as the guy's taking down Adam Hadwin, he's like all of a sudden going from utter joy to, hey, what are you doing?
That in slow motion.
My buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We had Adam Hadwin, by the way, on Brad Fritch's podcast, the one he does with Kerry Moore, the Red Rooster Golf podcast. And it was a great conversation with Adam Hadwin. So we encourage you to check that out. And what a nice guy. Like mild mannered, zero ego on the guy. He's great.
That's cool. You're doing a podcast with Fritchie?
I'm not on it. I'm producing it via my company, capitalpodcast.ca.
There you go. What's Fritchie up to?
Yeah. Well, the Red Rooster golf glove.
What's that?
He's
a golf glove?
Oh, well, yes, redroostergolf.com. You should check
he's
it out.
He's taking on the golf glove industry?
And doing very well. And has been for 2 or 3 years now.
No shit. Wow.
Yep. They're very cool. They're like, you can get all kinds of different colors, white, red, and it's got a little rooster on the palm or on the back of the head. Yeah, you should check it out. They're very good. I've got a couple, and they're, yeah.
Is he playing any golf? Is he living in Ottawa? What's going on? Where?
He's living down in North Carolina right now. Does the show from there, and he tried to qualify for the Canadian Open last week. Didn't make her, but a valiant effort. And he's still playing a little bit. Still got Korn Ferry Tour status, and so, yeah, still playing a little bit, but focusing mostly on this this golf equipment venture.
Good for him. Say hi to him.
Yep, will do. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much for being with us today. Our website, stevewproject.com, and we shall talk to you next time. Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.